In the beginning, I imagined things would be perfectly balanced. Arnold always held a somewhat dim view of people. He preferred the hosts. He begged me not to let you people in. The money men.
Gallus.
But I told him we'd be fine, that you didn't understand what you were paying for. It's not a business venture, not a theme park, but an entire world. We designed every inch of it. Every blade of grass. In here we were gods, and you were merely our guests.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Fear Me. You just Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
And thanks for coming back. This is another episode of Fear Me Podcast, episode 58. And Scott's here.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Scott.
Thank you. Hey, really enjoyed your show last week. Got a chance to listen to it. You guys did a great job.
Thanks.
Thanks.
But it's not the same without you.
Well, that's fine.
You add a lot.
Thanks. I appreciate it. But you guys, you really hit the nail on the head with the show. Actually, to tell you the truth, I wasn't real thrilled with the show as I watched it. But when I listened to you guys talking about it and so forth, I actually went back and watched a couple of episodes, and I enjoyed it a lot more the second time around.
Are you kidding me?
No.
We actually changed your mind?
You did. Yeah, I'm actually a little bit more intrigued about next season, watching the next season on it.
Yeah, we're talking about Outcast, if you guys didn't catch out,
yes,
our episode
right,
57.
Right.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear you say it, because, yeah, when I talked to you on the phone, you're like, I don't know, I didn't like it.
Yeah, you said that a lot.
Well, I do want you to understand one thing, though. I did do my damn homework, okay? You guys said I didn't do my homework. I did do my homework. I watched the damn show while I was on vacation.
Yeah, whatever.
But, yeah, I when I went through it the first time, it was okay. I didn't think it was creepy enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I listened to you guys talking about specifics on the show and so forth, I really kind of said, you know, let me go back and look at it. And there was a lot more to it than I gave it credit for to begin
Interesting.
With.
Interesting.
I'm a little bit, you guys were able to bend my will a little bit. So,
well, specifically, what do you think was stood out a little bit more after we were discussing it that was different?
The preacher. Did
uh-huh.
not care for the preacher. Did not care okay. for his character at all. Thought he was rather vanilla, boring, and I did not understand how he was so accepted as being this, you know, exorcist guy.
Right, the answer
and
for the town.
Yeah, and everybody just kind of accepted it and so forth like that. I listened to you guys talk about it and so forth, and it became less of an issue for me that the people were so, you know, just accepting of what he is and so forth, and I was able to look at more of the actual storyline instead of worrying about the character, and I enjoyed it a little bit better.
Good.
I'm still not real huge fan of that character, the preacher. I think he's a little bit. I thought the way he went nuts in the middle after he got carved up was a little bit. I thought it kind of took the story off. The rails a little
it was,
bit.
It was surprising. I would say that for sure.
Yeah.
And he's actually in complete contrast with what the symbol of what he's supposed to be. And
right.
so I don't know. He had a lot of depth as
well,
a character.
The problem I had with him, Stuart, is that for me, he was most powerful when he was a character of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When he went off the deep end about the carving and all, he lost all his authority.
Right.
And I think the character lost some validity in that. And I think it took away from the story a little bit.
Yeah, he was kind of spinning down a hole at that
mm-hmm.
point.
And I still think the show really could do a better job with the creepiness factor.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was super creepy. There were many times when I was hiding my face and screaming.
I wanted to see some of the imagery from The Ring or some of these other movies. Mm. You know, just really, really creepy ass stuff.
I disagree.
We got demons like crawling on the ceiling, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But
walking
nonetheless.
Backwards, crab walking.
Well, did you like Mildred?
Right. Yes, I did like Mildred.
Mildred's my favorite character.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She is creepy no matter what.
You know who she is, right, too?
Yeah.
I know you said
Palmer.
Yeah, but she was also Susan's mother on Seinfeld.
Oh, no way.
George's future mother-in-law.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
All right, you did.
Remember when she
homework.
Was in the Hanson cab with the with the gassy horse, Rusty?
Rusty!
Rusty!
Yes. What is that thing?
That's
was it like
her.
Five steps from Kevin Bacon type thing?
It's always 6 degrees of...
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Okay.
Yeah, of Kevin Bacon.
Well, it's pretty much the same. And I think you have less degrees to Seinfeld, at least from our standpoint.
Could be. There was a lot of people on that.
But is she going to be in the new Twin Peaks? Do we know?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I don't know too much about it.
Hmm. We need to look into that.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why did you think that she
because
would
be in
Twin
Peaks?
Because
she was in the original Twin Peaks, Laura Palmer.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Did you enjoy Laura Palmer?
I have no idea what that means, but okay, I got you now.
I liked your show, though. I did
Your
show. I thought you guys did a great job.
Scott, it's our show, even if you're not here.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate Stuart making me look like some hoarder.
I didn't say you were a hoarder.
Oh, you pretty much did. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to post some pictures of my collection, you will see that it is a high end collection.
Yeah. I didn't remember what you were talking about at first, but yes, you have a ton of books, Scott. You've got her.
Stu made it look like made it sound like though I couldn't make it to my kitchen.
Oh no, you have. It was your apartment used to be packed. You have to give me that.
It was a little bit.
Yeah, you had like the hardback area and the
I never really had that many.
Area.
I never really had many paperbacks.
No? Okay.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that an insult?
No. It's just an inaccuracy.
Because your collection is so magnificent now. Like it's
fantastic.
You have like gilded.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I do.
Whatever.
Actually.
It is a pretty magnificent collection.
Yeah.
I'll just post some pictures of my Stephen King section.
Yeah, do that. And all your
posters.
Any
horror fans out there will enjoy it, I think.
Make sure you don't put your address.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, first, I would like to know what you're drinking, Scott.
Oh. Well, that's what we're first talking about tonight, then.
Yeah. That's what we are. I'm drinking a beer from a Full Steam Brewery in Durham, North Carolina. And it's called Rocket Science IPA.
I love that name.
Yep,
love it.
Yep. Very cool. Very cool can. Like Stuart pointed out, it's very Art Deco. We'll post a picture of it on our website. And it's very tasty. It's a good beer.
Did you say what kind it is?
It's a an IPA.
IPA.
Okay. India Pale Ale.
Well, we have the Lone Rider Sweet Josie. Brown ale for outlaws.
Wow.
Which is appropriate for tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I bought a six of it just because of that, of course. But
sounds like something to be perfect in Monument Valley.
Yes. And that it's the which brewery is that? Is it the Lone Rider Brewery? Yeah, out of Raleigh, mm-hmm. North Carolina.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so another North Kakalaki beer.
Yep.
Yep. We're producing some good stuff up here.
You are. I'm very proud of you guys.
Stu, what do you think of it?
It's good. It's kind of chocolatey.
It's
chocolatey. I'm not huge in the brown ales, but...
Yeah, it's super sweet. Like, I don't know if I could drink too many of these.
Right.
The can's really cool with the chick on it.
Okay.
I mean, she's pretty and all.
All right.
But,
that's a good breakdown of that one.
No.
Buy it because you like the can.
What was the brown
chick
ale?
On it's pretty cool.
Y'all make me sound like I'm super southern. What what was the brown ale we used to drink when we were in college? You know, the one everybody drinks.
Oh God, that
I hate
awful
to say
one.
It, I don't remember.
You know,
I know which one you're talking
Newcastle.
About.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
No, it's not.
No. What? You didn't have money in college. It wasn't Newcastle.
I didn't. No, because we were buying Newcastle. No. What?
No.
The other, I don't know. There was all, like when we were in college, there was like all the, like, all the ice beers and red beers, like Red Wolf and Red, all like all that crap that was out there. But I don't remember a brown ale.
Hey, did I ever?
Hold up. I was going to say, the brown ale that we drank in college, we drank it just to like get drunk, but it would like make us sick. And I feel like this one could very much do the same.
Brilliant. All right.
Did I ever tell you that I was one of the first consumers to try ice beer?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, which one?
What do you mean you were first consumer? Like, they hunted you down
No, it was Labatt's. A friend of mine and I drove up
They did have a nice one, didn't they?
Drove up to Toronto to go watch a baseball game. We wanted to see the new Sky Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And right outside of there is Labatt's, has a bar. Hmm. And we were like, 5 or 6 hours before the game, there's nobody around. You know, it was on a Saturday. There's nobody downtown or anything doing anything. So we wandered over to this bar, and we're sitting at the bar, and the guy says, "You know what? I haven't even unpacked this yet." He said, "Would you guys like to try the new Labatt's beer? They haven't even put it out yet."
Hmm.
We were like, "Yeah, sure. What is it?" And he goes, "It's Labatt's Ice." And we said, "All right, let's try it out." And so he gave us the Labatt's Ice, and he said, "Well, what do you think?" And we said, "It's really bad."
But man, I'm seeing all
thanks
kinds
for,
of crazy
thanks
shit.
For letting us try it, but this is shit. Give that's, me something better.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But great story.
But anyway.
That's awesome.
Good times. Good times. Toronto, one of my favorite cities.
Love okay, it. So tonight we're going to be talking about Westworld, the HBO show. Not to be confused with the movie of the same name. But this is the new series that came out last year. It's only had one season so far, but it is coming back for a second season in 2018. So, Scott, you want to describe it for everybody? And this, so just to remind you guys, we're going to do it the same way we did it with Outcast. We're going to start out generic. And so in case you haven't seen it, you won't be spoiled. And then we'll tell you right before we go into like the details so that in case you don't want to be spoiled and haven't seen it, you can jump off.
You make like a warning sound. Be like, meh,
meh, meh, meh, meh.
Exactly. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Well, you know, you really, I mean, to describe the show, you do have to go back to describe the movie.
Of course, but this is not the movie
original. Right, right. But the original movie, Westworld, was produced in 1973, I believe. And it was actually a Michael Crichton creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a amusement park that was like a total immersion experience for people. They would go into a world like the Wild West or the Knights of Old of the Round Table, you know, these kind of things. And they would... and they were populated by these androids that acted out the parts, and people could, you know, have a great old time just shooting up stuff and all kinds of, you know, wild times. And the premise of the movie, though, is that the androids or the robots became sentient and went haywire and, in essence, went after all the live people. And, you know, and that's pretty much what, you know, in a nutshell, that's what the show was about.
Right.
And it was about a couple of guys that were there to go into the Westworld part of the park and how they were being chased by one particular robot that was after them, which was played by Yul Brynner. Richard Benjamin played the main character that was on the run. And, you know, so anyway, you can guess what happened. I mean, in the end, he gets the bad guy and all that kind of good stuff.
But in the movie, the amusement park had a lot of different other worlds. It wasn't just Westworld.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
No. No, no. So the television series is based primarily on the same kind of idea. You know, and they did in my opinion, they did a fantastic job of recreating the atmosphere of the original movie.
Hmm.
Even though it was, you know, the technology and so forth that they're using in the series is, you know, 10 times better than what they got to show you in 1973.
Right.
You still have kind of the feel of that movie. Now, the difference, though, the big difference, and the real interesting difference is that from the movie, you were looking at the show from the aspect of the newcomer, the visitor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The robots were pretty much, you know, what you expect. They were robots.
Right.
They weren't really live people acting or anything like that. The Yul Brynner chasing after Richard Benjamin really was like, I think he had maybe one or two lines the whole movie.
Hmm. Okay.
But the series switched it around. It takes it more from the viewpoint of the androids, or what they call the host, and their awareness, their growth into sentience. And that's primarily what the whole series is about. Is about, you know, this park and the AI intelligence manifesting itself and becoming independent.
Right. So the original movie didn't really have quite so much of that. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
No.
So this is it's much more advanced as far as the storyline's going.
Right. The series is much more sophisticated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really looking a lot more towards that with the AI. You know, when AI reaches sentience, how would it react to the situation? The movie was more about robots chasing the good guys.
Right.
You know.
So in the movie, was it still the premise that only the richest of the rich could go to this amusement park and take part in it? Okay. And live out their fantasies?
I believe so. I mean, I don't remember them. In all honesty, I don't remember them differentiating whether it was, you know, the elite or whether it was Joe Sixpack who was in there. I think it did portray itself as being very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, and, you know, like, I think in the movie, one of the first ones that went haywire was one of the Knights of the Round Table and killed one of the guests there in a sword fight.
Hmm.
Okay.
And that's when you started seeing things falling apart. And then, you know, of course, they had all the scientists and techs and so forth working in the control room, and the park was sealing them off and so forth as it was going on. You know, it actually, you know, for the time, so it actually was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. Really loved it when I was a kid. You know, I go back and watch it now. You know, it's dated, of course, but still, you know,
well,
still a lot of fun.
I remember going into Blockbuster back in the day and seeing the cover, seeing the cover of it with Yul Brynner's face coming off, like popping out.
Yes. Yeah.
As if he's changing, you know.
Well, actually, that happens in the end. That, you know, when he kills Yul Brynner's, you know, his face pops off and he sees him as a robot.
Ah, okay.
And so forth.
Which we never knew until then that he actually was a robot that whole time.
No, he is an actual robot.
Yeah, Yul Brynner has been.
He's still alive in Hollywood as an actual robot.
So, what did you think about the show then, Scott?
I loved it. I mean, I really did. Let me say this. The plot is not for the faint of heart. Mm. That is a very complicated plot in this show.
For real.
And you really do have to pay attention. And I think that is a fascination for the show and a detriment to the show.
Okay.
I think a lot of people... I know I've had to watch it several times, and I'm not 100% sure I figured out what happened in the end.
Yeah.
I agree with you on all points.
Yeah, there's little side stories and things that are going on with specific characters as to, like, okay, who's real, who's not, where they are in time, I think is a huge one. That
Ooh.
Yeah,
yes.
that,
that's yeah, a and big see, leap. That's the one. Right, that was the one, right. The differentiation between the past and the present, which you did not realize until real late into the series.
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, if you've not seen this, you don't want to hear the spoilers on this, okay?
No. Not at all.
I think maybe I did not like it as much as you did, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably just because of how complicated the plot was.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can certainly understand that.
Yeah. I think before season two happens, I would definitely need to rewatch it again, the entire first season, to wrap my brain around what was happening. But nonetheless, it was very well done, very well put together. The plot was amazing because I had never seen anything like it. And I have never seen the movie before. And I liked it, But it was complicated. It's a complicated relationship.
Yes. Yes.
It's like
is.
A woman.
It is.
It is. What no about doubt. You, Stuart?
I liked it a lot. Actually, I kind of feel going into the next season the same way I did at the start of this one. The first couple episodes, I didn't understand how they could really make a storyline out of all these people just, you know, trapped within this amusement park. Because mm-hmm. it seemed to not be going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The first couple episodes, I was like, I don't know. But I feel the same way about the next season. It's like, what are they going to do for the next season? Right. And then now they're kind of releasing everything out of the park. So now what the hell do they do? There doesn't seem to be, you know, because this season was all about the mystery and everything else. So, you know, where does it go from here? I did like the show, though. I thought it was very good. I think the whole thing was put together well. The characters were awesome. Anthony Hopkins was good. And I really liked, I forget his name, but he was William.
Jimmy.
Yeah, because he was Liam McPoyle of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Jimmy Simpson.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jimmy Simpson.
Jimmy Simpson, exactly. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah,
he really was great in that series.
Great actor. I mean, great actor.
Yeah, really did a good job. And of course, you got to love Ed Harris. Everything Ed Harris does is fantastic. Yes,
yes. Agreed. And Tandy Newton was pretty awesome. She played Maeve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, Maeve. Okay.
She was very good.
Oh, she really did. I mean, she knocked it out of the park.
She was very
Ed Harris,
convincing.
Ed Harris was in Abyss, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And The Right Stuff.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Ed Harris has been in like 100 things.
I know, but I'm talking about the big things that jump out at me. Yeah, he has been in a lot of stuff, though.
And here's something interesting. Evan Rachel Wood, who plays Dolores, the lead role, she's from Raleigh. Did y'all know this?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so her dad is Ira David Wood, who owns the Raleigh Little Theater. And they used to, they put on the Nutcracker every Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And we used to go see it every year, and she was in it. So I saw her as a kid.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool.
And did not even realize it until I started researching this. So she came up out of Raleigh, North Carolina.
She did a great job jumping in and out of that Southern accent.
Yeah.
She really did. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did a great job. I mean, that's the one thing I will say for this. I thought the quality of acting in this series was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, I loved Bernard.
Oh, he's Jeffrey fantastic. Wright. Yes,
he is. He is so good. That you talk about one of the. He's got to be one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
What has he been in?
He's been in a lot of stuff.
I need to research.
A lot of stuff. Yep.
Because
he's always
he was
got
really
you
good.
Know a lesser role, but he's been in tons.
I mean, he looks so familiar. You know, he's got that familiar face to him, but you can't ever. Pinpoint where you know him from.
Was he in Mars Attacks?
No.
Okay.
Seriously doubt it. What made you think of that?
Another one of my favorite
But he was
films.
In the Cannonball Run, I think.
Okay. Good. That's a great movie.
Y'all are funny.
No, but I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought the acting was fantastic in the show.
Well, you know, I mean, that's, you know, part of the quality of some of the HBO stuff that you see out there, though. I mean, like the cinematography, the acting, the just the setups for most of the cameras, it's that you see it, you know, the simplicity of a lot of it. It's really well done.
Well, they've already won a ton of awards for it, and they're nominated for more. People's Choice Award for 2017 and some other things are coming up.
I do have to say, though, just you know, like, okay, so the two shows that we were looking at in the break, Outcast versus Westworld, I think I liked Outcast more.
I did too.
Right. And I liked Westworld better for me, just because. But I have the benefit of growing up on the movie,
right,
and having loved the movie, loved the premise. And so forth like that. So it was not hard for me to fall in love with the series.
Yeah, see, I was not even born
I will then. Tell you this. I will tell you this. I was worried. I was worried whether the series for me was going to live up to what I remember from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if, I mean, in all honesty, if you go back and watch the movie, it's good. It's not great. You know, it's a fun movie and so forth like that. But when you're a kid and you're watching a bunch of robot gunslingers and, you know, all this stuff. It was really cool.
Right.
How old were you when you saw that movie, when it came out?
Well, I mean, I was born in 64, so.
So you were 9?
3 was, yeah, probably 9, 10. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I definitely had the... I definitely had the excitement about watching the series because
what,
of that.
What was the other? You're huge into Dune, too, weren't you?
No.
Yeah, Scott was a big Dune guy.
Oh, God. That was some of the most boring shit. I've
that was a watched. Very boring movie. Wow.
Oh, my God. It was like watching a sand Titanic.
Yeah.
I thought y'all liked that show.
I tried watching it the other day. Well, not the other day. It was probably like 6 months ago. I tried watching it. I was like, holy cow.
That's the other day.
This is so slow.
It is. It is unbearable. It's so unbearably slow.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Well,
but yeah. Anyways. No, I was not a Dune guy.
So are we going to get into this and then we have to tell people to...
Yeah, stop. To jump off.
Okay, all right. Kim, you're on it.
Okay, yeah, so I think we're going to go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty of Westworld. So if you have not seen the show and you do not want to be spoiled, now would be a perfect time to jump off and go do something else. Go do your laundry or something.
But you should watch it and then come back and listen to us.
Yeah.
You should watch the show. It is very well done. Good series.
And I would suggest go back and watch the movie, too. I mean, you can watch it afterwards. You can watch it before. Doesn't matter. It's not like it's imperative that you watch the movie to understand the show, because really it's not,
right.
You know, the movie's like watching a really good episode of The $6 Million Man.
But Yul Brynner might like show up in your window in the middle of the night. You see, I mean, if he finds out you did not watch this movie, he will show up at your house.
Also,
if you want to see a stiff Yul Brynner, watch that movie.
Something important to note, if you have not seen the movie, or the show, rather, you've got plenty of time to catch up because season 2 doesn't start until 2018.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, if you don't have HBO, you can get a free month of HBO.
Watch
and then
it.
Cancel
it. Yeah,
you
watch
want.
It and then
and
cancel
watch that,
it.
Watch the series
yeah,
and then cancel
there's only 10 episodes, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Show a middle finger to HBO and say, screw you guys. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but good
yeah.
programming.
Well, you can get HBO Go, right?
Huh?
HBO Go.
Oh, you've got to pay for it. Yeah.
I thought there was they had a streaming service now.
Yeah, they do, but you have to pay for it.
But you got
to
pay for it.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Right now,
oh,
you
yeah.
can get a 30-day free sample.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how much it is, like $20 a month or something like that. But
I mean, HBO may not like hearing me say that, but you know what? I don't give a damn.
Yeah, y'all just figure it out and then come back.
HBO can suck it. But yeah, you can also watch Flight of the Conchords. There's all kinds of stuff
yes.
on HBO.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones.
Game
Hello.
Of Thrones. Hey.
I actually, that was another thing. While I was on vacation, I started watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, did you? Ooh. Oh, what'd you think?
I've gotten through three episodes, the first three episodes.
Oh, Lord.
I haven't.
Isn't that beginning awesome? Isn't just like
the
intro?
Part?
That's awesome. Like the game
yep.
piece
yep.
stuff.
Yep. I'll continue to watch it.
Okay.
I'll continue to watch it. You know, like in 2020, I should catch up with you.
Yeah, I'm sensing not liking it so much. I don't know.
Mm.
That's
Wait
what I'm hearing
he
from
gets
Scott's
into
voice.
Season
he doesn't
five.
Like it so
really?
Much. Too complex for Scott.
Ships? No, no. Ship's still out. You know, we'll see.
It gets better.
We'll
it
see.
Gets better.
In all honesty, what it comes down to is I'm not real big on, you know, those the. That time period type stuff,
mm-hmm.
to tell you the truth, Vikings and all that kind of stuff, that just doesn't do a whole lot for me. But
that's funny, because I'm the exact opposite.
Right, exactly. I'm more into, you know, later periods and so forth. But
okay,
I'm not giving up on it.
Well,
I'm
good.
Watching it.
All yes, right, ma'am. So jump off now. Here's your warning.
Okay, what?
Adios,
muchachos. Oh, yeah. We're going into details. I'm sorry. I thought we were diving.
We're diving. Diving down. All right. So now,
what?
For all of you people who are left, we're going to go through our top 5 favorites of things from the entire first season. So we're not going to concentrate on just one episode. So, Scott, do you want to tell us what your number 5 is? We're going to go down the list.
You are putting him on the block, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Do it.
Well, I, in all honesty, I've already thrown my number 5 out there. Okay.
Which
and that is the fact that they were able to catch the atmosphere and the feeling of the original movie while bringing up a very sophisticated plot line. And being able to, in essence, completely switch the viewpoint of the show from the guest, which was the original movie, to the host and their dawning awareness. So that was, you know, for me overall, that was what I enjoyed. That was my number five.
Okay. Okay, my number five was the moment when Dolores kills the fly. When they say that she can't, they can't kill anything. And then she kills a fly. And it was like, that's the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was such a small little detail.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry,
but it was a good detail.
It was a good detail.
The fly, the recurring fly.
Yes.
And the imagery was fantastic. And I hate to say it, Stu, that was my number three.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Okay. I've got number three I can give you.
No, you're fine.
But I agree with you. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, that scene right off the bat with the fly on the eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was gross.
Yes.
That's intense, though. That
it
really
was
showed
very
you that
intense.
These, yeah, that really got it off. I mean, they did such a great job right off the bat portraying the host. I think they really did a great job of you know, showing them as feeling and so forth. But then all of a sudden, seeing that they were completely artificial.
Mm-hmm. Right. And well, you get, yeah, I mean, as viewer, that kept being reminded to you. And with Logan, I guess.
Yeah.
Logan was the brother-in-law or soon-to-be brother-in-law that brought William there to to show him what the park.
The asshole.
Yeah, the asshole that showed to show him what the park was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had to cut Dolores open to, like, remind William, okay, these people, they're not real.
Right.
I mean, that was, it was, I mean, as a viewer, you kind of had to see that. I almost felt like you maybe need to see that more, you know, because it might have helped with the creep factor a little bit, actually, because it just seemed like a bunch of live people talking at points.
It was very hard to determine who was live versus AI.
Right.
And of course, it was the way they spoke that got to you, that you realized, like that couple at the beginning. Who was always like?
Yes, yeah, the kind of goofy couple.
Yeah, yeah, and
yeah.
it was almost like the
guy that went off on the hunt for outlaws. With
yeah,
the sheriff.
Right. Yeah, and then he was like, "Oh, this is too much. Let's go back."
I'm tired now. Let's go back.
Yeah, yeah. So that part was really cool that they had to keep reminding you of who was who, and you really had to like pay attention. You couldn't, like, take a sip of your beer and be like, cool, I understand what's going on. And God forbid you had to go to the bathroom and had to leave the room.
Exactly.
That's not happening during this show.
No. No. You miss a little bit, you miss a lot.
Exactly.
That is no doubt. No, you're exactly right. I mean, and I think also the one point that was both necessary and annoying to me was the constant repeating of the piano.
But the song would change.
Right. But it would also symbolize what the androids were to you. I mean, that they were androids. They recycled.
Yep.
So that piano recycling showed them recycling, which, again, could be annoying because it happened over and over again. It got a little tedious, you know, reliving the same scenes over and over again. But it really gave you, you know, brought you back to the fact that these are not real people.
Right. Well, and it like you're saying, it also kind of symbolized what they were. They were just a machine, you know, that had a certain play, you know, a certain a script that they had to go through.
Right.
So now, but the song did change, and I kept wondering, like, I kept wanting to figure out what the songs were that they kept going.
Oh, you can find out online.
Oh, really?
One of them was like AC/DC.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of them was the U2.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what other ones were, but yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I like the music a lot.
It would be interesting to know if those songs had something to do specifically with each episode as well, though. I would think so.
I'd have to go back and look to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
That's
I really didn't pay that much
attention. That's what our listeners do, right?
One of our listeners will do it, because we did not.
Uh-huh.
So
Kim, well, I don't think we got your number one yet, did we?
My number five, you mean?
Or number five, yes, sorry.
Number five.
Number five was that it was a period piece. Because I actually do like that period of time. And I love the costumes. The costumes were awesome. Dolores' blue dress kind of got annoying after a while, actually.
I agree.
And
I agree.
Even, did you see, what award show?
Really?
Yeah, the blue dress. What award show was it that just happened that what's his face?
Yeah, from
Jimmy Saturday. Fallon. Jimmy Fallon was the host to it, and they did an intro to the award show, and Dolores was there in her blue dress, and Maeve was there.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. I did not know that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was very funny. Yeah. Because Westworld won, like, all kinds of awards that night. Yeah, so I love that period because it's very raw and in your face, and...
It's wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no rules...
No.
No rules at all. Anything goes.
Nope. Nope. And you know what, Kim, I will say this about the dress, when you bring up the dress. I know why I didn't like the dress as much is because whenever I saw her in a dress, I felt like she wasn't going to be action Dolores.
Mm. True.
She was reboot Dolores. And I liked action Dolores better than reboot Dolores.
I did too. As a matter of fact, I did.
So Scott's actually thinking of them as action figures.
Yes.
Depending on what
they're
wearing.
I was a G.I. Joe fan when I was a kid. I had Kung Fu Grip.
Whoa.
Still have Kung Fu Grip. Look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a good way to think about it because there are different personalities, but also different.
Depending on what they're wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different iterations of each character.
Yes.
And even Maeve had her different personalities and her different iterations. So depending on what they were wearing, that was the person you were going to see at that point.
Right.
And that's why you had to stay on it. And that's why you had to figure out what was going on early on in the show so that later on you could understand what was happening. It was amazing.
Yeah, and there was a big thing. We'll talk about more, but there was a big thing going on there that not everybody, that you could not pick up necessarily right from the beginning.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I agree.
I don't know what you're talking about, but all right.
So that was my number five.
So we're on number four.
Okay.
Yes, so Scott's up.
Scott, go ahead.
My number four, I might even jump it up to number three and maybe bump the fly down to number four, but was my favorite character in the show was Bernard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was cool.
And his moment of discovery when he finally dawns on him that he's actually a host, not a real person.
So sad.
I thought was heartbreaking.
That's my number
I thought it was
one.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, and he did such a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, you know, for me, that was really a strong scene. That was
very heartbreaking scene. His face, I don't even know.
And
what
then Anthony Hopkins shuts him down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then but Bernard puts the gun at him, or has what? He had another host. Anyways, he had Anthony Hopkins at gunpoint so that he would make Bernard see his actual memories.
Right.
Before he finally used a back door to...
Oh, it was What's-Her-Face, the chick. The other hooker girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. I forget her name. You're right. But he used... Anthony Hopkins had some sort of back door then to make Bernard kill himself.
Clementine.
Yes, Clementine Pennyfeather. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and it was to show him he does not have free will.
Yeah.
Where he thought he had free will.
And how did he find that out? Did he see the schematics of himself? Is that what it was?
Yes,
or someone...
he found the paper. No. Well, he found the world, the house that Arthur had created.
The cabin.
Right. Yeah, with the cabin with him as a boy and his family and whatnot. And then he discovered the basement.
Right.
Where all the drawings were kept. And he found his own drawing.
Mm.
Right. And Ford confronted him on it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and when he realized that was happening, you know, that was real. Because he thought he was an integral part of the whole thing. I mean, even the scene not long before that when he got fired. You know, when the head of the chairman of the board, I guess.
Teresa.
Teresa. when she came in and fired him, in essence, you could see he was just kind of devastated.
His girlfriend.
He's like, wow. No. The one that came in after her.
The younger lady.
That was sent from the board. She went in there to take it over, in essence. Anyway, but Bernard, you know, he still thought he was part of the whole thing. Anyway, that was my number four or three, if you want to put it that way.
Okay.
Cool.
So do you think his girlfriend, the woman that was running the place,
yes,
did she know that? Did she know that he was a host?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
No.
Because we found that.
Clueless on that.
Remember, there was an episode dedicated to that too, where she finds out. Mm-hmm. And that's when she dies.
Okay. Oh, that's when she dies.
Right. That's when she gets killed.
And yet, okay. God, yeah. There were so many different parts. Okay.
Yeah.
My number four, is that what we're on now? Number four was when Maeve woke up and she saw the other host being cleaned off.
Oh,
and
being, yes.
Like repaired to be sent out to reboot the whole system again.
Right.
Because that was just, I mean, can you imagine?
That was the,
it was screwed
that was...
up because it was like, it was, she, you know, she gets killed and she wakes up and she's in this wherever repair shop doctor area.
Right.
And they're washing off, and I think they were actually washing off the father of Dolores at that point.
Oh, yes, they were.
Yeah,
right.
It was his body, and he was naked laying
on the
floor.
I believe that was the episode called The Adversary.
Mm.
Is that the one when Felix starts, Felix the technician, starts showing her around, and it really dawns on her that oh, wait a minute. I'm a robot.
Yeah.
She got him to like go upstairs and stuff, which that I have to say was one of the weird parts of that whole relationship was why Felix kept
helping,
listening to her.
Yeah. I didn't understand that either.
But I don't know. I guess it was just like a power thing.
Well, part of Felix, I think my sense of it is that number one, Felix was terrified. And number two, I think he did not care for his coworkers in a lot of respect. I mean, he did not like
Sylvester,
and he certainly had problems with. Remember the guy that wanted to. Oh God, who was the quote unquote bad guy host?
Oh, remember the guy not Wyatt.
He wanted to screw him.
Yes,
remember.
Yes.
The technician that went in there to screw him, and Felix was kind of like, oh God, you know. So.
Oh, that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was disgusting.
I forget his name.
I think Felix was scared of them, and at the same time, he also kind of thought that they needed to.
Yeah.
They made more sense than some of the people he worked with.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say my number three real quick.
Why?
Because it's related to what we're talking about.
All right, go ahead.
The fact that the two technicians that we're dealing with in here are Felix and Sylvester, that are both animated cats.
I had not picked up on that.
No, I didn't either.
Yep.
And those are the two that you're dealing with in like the tech world.
That is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got to be on purpose.
They weren't in the movie, were they? So they're not a product of 1973 world.
No.
That's
no,
funny.
That is funny. Very good, Stu. I like that observation. So, Kimmy, what number were you?
Number four. Sorry,
four?
I jumped to three. That was my number three.
I think most of mine have already been played, but go ahead with your number four.
Well, excuse me. Mine goes back to the idea of having robots, AIs, and in this world, and they turn on you. Turn on people, and it goes back to the whole 2001 A Space Odyssey, which is in my lifetime is where the first time that I heard about this happening and experienced it. So that whole idea of a robot turning on a human has fascinated me kind of since I saw that movie when I was a kid. And I think from what I remember recently in the news, there's even been legislation in a European country that was put out, that was introduced to help protect people against robots, but also trying to give robots autonomy. So it's like, this is still like, this is becoming more in the forefront of our world, our real world. And it's just fascinating to me that, you know, we could be on the brink of something like this happening.
Hal is our Siri.
Yeah. Seriously.
Not only that, no, I would even go so far as to say we are now at a point where we can converse with a machine that will take care of all our household things and also will give us any information
we'll
we want.
We'll hold a conversation with us.
The what is it? The Echo?
Echo, yeah. And
those?
Whatever her name is.
I saw one. What whatever the doing, Google dude? Was. Yeah. But I mean, you know, we're looking at that.
Yeah.
You know, we're staring that down.
But yeah, that was always the fear going into that. Once the computer age came about, that was always the fear is, you know, how far does it go? How much control do they get? And what iRobot was a movie?
Yes.
What else? Terminator.
Science fiction has been tackling that whole thought idea since the 50s.
Right. Yeah.
Of the sentient robot. Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Yeah, I think that's where this show, like, I don't know, I've been kind of struggling with it a little bit as to how realistic it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how realistic the characters were. I don't know that, you know, if I was going into this world to have relationships with these characters for a entertainment value, I don't know how comfortable I'd feel.
Well, I mean, up until this point, well, even now in our real world, when you are encountering a robot or an AI or whatever, they do not look like you, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go into the Westworld world and it's suddenly a person that looks human or an AI that looks human, I think it would be very easy to kind of fall into that because they kind of do what you want them to do. And they become the person that you've always wanted.
Well,
but they're not a person.
I thought it was interesting.
And they can't return those true feelings.
Dr. Ford, Anthony Hopkins, always goes back to that, the warehouse where they shut down the hosts that I guess got out of line. And he always goes and hangs out with that
bartender.
The bartender that is like total animatronic.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how are you?
It's like the Hall of Presidents at Disney.
Right, exactly. Yeah, complete.
Right. But, you know, I mean, you're exactly right. But, you know, there is a little bit of a creepy parallel here. And that is, you know, the newcomers consider the host to be products. In essence. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's not that much of a stretch to look at it in the framework of slavery.
Yeah.
You know, slaves were considered to be products. You know, they were considered to be
commodities.
Things you owned.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at these androids on the show, people are treating them as things to own. And it's dawning now that they're not. They're actually, you know, not necessarily people, but they're a dawning awareness.
Right.
And, you know, and that's maybe where like a guy like Felix is ahead of the curve. He's accepting them for being aware.
Right. Well,
and,
I mean,
and
yeah,
for their worth, even though he's scared to death of them, he's still accepting them as being actual people.
Well, they erase their memories every day that they do not collect that. And then that becomes some sort of consciousness because the memories are what is the consciousness. And so that's what is coming back to some of the other hosts where it didn't get wiped completely clean.
Right.
And then
they're getting a glimpse of the previous.
Yeah, they're creating feelings out of that.
It's crazy.
So
like Maeve with her daughter.
Right.
Right.
From a previous
storyline.
Storyline. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
All right. What's your number three?
Did you do your number four?
I just did it.
Okay, that's good.
The AI is revolting.
Oh, right.
I'm very, very glad Stuart was paying attention.
Yeah, really. They're in that whole thing.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
Now, Stuart hit on my number three already. But I'll tell you what. I will put one on there that was kind of a side one for me. It fell into what I was talking about with Bernard and so forth, was watching some of the other characters get their awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I liked watching Teddy, for instance, start trying to figure out what exactly is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going back through this, and I keep going back to Dolores. Why do I keep going back to Dolores?
Right.
You know, Dolores causes, you know, because of Dolores, I killed the town.
Right.
Oh, right.
But I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I killed the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really want to kill the together on that one either until the end.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, characters like Teddy and even Dolores, Dolores' dad, for that matter.
Oh, right. Poor guy.
The way his program was breaking down because he was gaining awareness. He saw that picture of William's girlfriend or fiance.
Yes.
Remember?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He found that photograph in the dirt. I guess she was like in Times Square or something like that. And it kind of blew his mind. He was like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm. It was like he an alien came down and rocked his world.
And it screwed up his program.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolores came home to find him sitting on the porch, just kind of befuddled.
Yeah.
Screwed up my program.
Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed watching. I enjoyed watching the evolution of these androids, the host, and I liked all the little tidbits and so forth that were kind of thrown out throughout the show. That later on, you're like, oh, that's why I did that.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, like little Easter egg type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was good. Stu.
Well, you had my three.
Which was what again?
The Felix and Sylvester.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I can come up with another one. I got another one.
Okay.
This was more of a minor thing, so it probably shouldn't be up to the rank of three.
Okay.
But that they found out the one host that fell into the crevasse.
Oh, right.
Was it him that they found out that he was transmitting? So they had a transmitter in his arm, which I thought was cool. Like, and then they, mm-hmm. and then Bernard's assistant, I don't remember her name, but she gets killed because she finds out there's
what
that laptop.
Her name? She was great.
That Teresa had.
Elsie?
Yeah, maybe it was Elsie.
I think it was Elsie.
Yep.
Yeah, Elsie, who was like the new hotshot programmer coming up.
So they find out that like, information's being transferred out so that Dr. Ford can't have complete control. So they're trying to get as much information
about
the park out.
And we find out later on that's the board trying to take control.
Right.
And how sad was it when Bernard realized he had killed Elsie? That was so sad.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay.
Thanks for the downer, Kim.
Yep. So that was a good one.
All right, Kim, number three.
All right, my number three is Ed Harris. Just him as an actor. The Right Stuff is one of my favorite movies from when I was a kid about the astronauts in the early space program. And he was one of those astronauts. And I always loved him ever since that movie. And I'm not sure exactly what it is about him, but I know that his eyes always bring me in. His eyes have like this, I don't know, like this mystery behind them. Like he could be good or bad, but there's something that you really want to learn about him that you don't know, but you got to figure it out. And he's just a dynamic person and he can play good or bad. And I love him. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, he reminds me of in a lot of respects for that ability is Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
I always thought Gene Hackman was a great actor because of the fact he could play a good guy, a guy you would really like, and a really, really bad guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And Ed Harris can do the same thing.
And he can do so much with just his face. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have to say anything, and he just gives you that look, and you're like, fuck, I'm dead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or, ooh, he really loves me.
Well, he could be the really good guy, but you're still scared of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I mean, I still one of the best Ed Harris movies, in my opinion, except for the last third of the movie was The Abyss.
Oh, yeah. That was a fantastic movie.
I mean, get rid of all the alien crap at the end of it.
Yeah,
and
the
it would have been even
cheesy stuff.
It would have been even more fantastic
movie.
But he was so good in that movie.
Yeah.
So he gets the ring out of the toilet and his hand
blew the rest
of the movie.
That is, I thought about that too. That is a good point. That's a good one. Yes.
Yeah, he's.
Yes.
I just love him as an actor. So.
Yeah, he's he is very intense, but he's very serious and, yeah.
All right, so we've done our top three, or our
yep.
five through three.
Yep.
Why don't we take a break?
Sounds
for
good.
A moment?
Yeah.
And we'll come back and do our last two.
Perfect. Cool.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. Hey everybody, we're back. So we're reviewing our top five pieces of Westworld, top five scenes, thoughts, whatever. And to tell you the truth, my number two has been used already quite a few times.
Oh shit, so, Scott.
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to send it on over to Stuart. Stuart, what is your number two?
Well, my problem is that my number two and number one kind of go together.
Hmm.
So you want to save it for number
that?
One?
Should I save it for number one? Or should we just go to your number two?
I mean, I have
Let's go to Kim's number okay. two, and Kim, you save it for your number two. One.
Okay. Yeah. My number two is the character of Maeve, played by Tandy Newton, yeah. who also has won quite a few awards for this show. Mm-hmm. I really liked how complex her character was, and that she was the first one to really start to come to the realization that something just isn't quite right here. And we learn this whole backstory about her daughter, and that was a different storyline. And she is kind of a rebel and wants to break out of the park to do what? I have no idea, but just to experience life, I suppose. And then she changes her mind. And why does she change her mind? But to get back to her daughter.
Yeah.
And but then all hell breaks loose. So
well, didn't Bernard tell her that she was programmed, or someone told her that she was programmed that way to always want to escape?
Yes.
Oh right.
Yes, you remember because they were talking about the one of the last reveals to Maeve from Bernard is when he shows her on their. By the way, I love the tablets they have. They were very cool.
They were.
The fold-out tablets.
Yeah.
But where he was showing to her that there was a that someone had been programming her to want to escape. Mm. This was exactly. not her independent thought.
Right.
And he showed her on there. There was a outline, and on the outline it said escape.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she didn't accept it. Remember? She took the tablet and threw it, tore it apart, and said, no, that's not me. This is my independent thought.
Right. Yeah. But well, then she's the one who said, okay, I'm coming back. I'm going back to my daughter.
So do you think that was her breaking from the narrative? Or do you think that the narrative was telling her to come back?
I
feel like it was her breaking from the narrative. I'm sure we'll find out differently, but.
That's her true independence happening.
That's what I want to be happening.
Yeah, that's what you want to be happening. But I think what it is, I mean, that's the control that's in place to keep her where she needs to be.
But who was programming her to escape in the first place? Was it Arthur?
I think Ford.
Ford?
I think it was
Ford. Probably Ford. Because Ford did say that he was...
tweaking.
He had finally come to the realization that Arthur was correct.
Mm-hmm.
That these robots needed to... at some point be free.
Right.
And so he was preparing them to then at one point be free. Right. And that,
yes, you're exactly right. And don't forget though, too, he's told Bernard that, one of the ways that Arnold and he later on discovered is that for them to get their true independence, they had to suffer. And that's why he had created the storyline about Bernard's son. Having died.
Yeah. Because I've built memories.
Right. And I think that was part of the reason. To me, I think Ford wrote it into Maeve's thing is to increase her suffering. To increase her ability to break out and have her own personality. So, I mean, in my opinion, I think Ford wrote it in that she would come back. But I can certainly see where it was not written in, and where that's her actually reaching independence.
I hope that's what's happening.
But it definitely had to do with suffering, right?
But that's the whole thing, that there's like these contradictions that are happening in the story, because mm-hmm. If Ford is the one that is finally come to this realization that they at some point need to find some sort of freedom, mm-hmm. why does he kill Bernard? Is it simply because he doesn't want to be found out that he's been controlling it? I mean, because everybody knew he was controlling it in the first place. So why does he kill Bernard? If he thinks that they can overcome him, and does he think that Bernard's going to stop what he's doing?
I don't know. You mean when he killed Arnold or when he killed...
No, Bernard.
No, when he Bernard, when he had Bernard shoot himself in the head. Right, why does he kill Bernard?
I think he does think that Bernard's going to stop him, because Bernard kind of flipped out on him when he found out that he was an AI. And
Bernard has been imprinted by Arnold.
Yeah.
So he's got Arnold's morality.
Right. But he didn't react the same way that Maeve did when she found out.
Right.
But Arnold wanted them to be free at some point, too. So...
Keep in mind, Arnold was aware already of the androids, okay?
Yeah.
So when Arnold got his awareness...
Well, he wanted them to be aware, right?
Well, yeah, but when Arnold got his awareness, it was more shocking...
You mean Bernard. You're talking about Bernard.
Excuse me, Bernard. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah, when Bernard got his awareness, it was more devastating to him because he already knew about the others. He already knew about all the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Finding out he was a host was devastating for him. Maeve, on the other hand, was never aware that there were any other host.
Exactly.
So her dawning of it was kind of like, you know, if we all discovered we were host, okay? There's more strength in numbers. There's more everybody's on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you find out, wait a minute, you were feeling like you were in the top team, but actually you were on the second team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like that idea that a lot of people, well, that some people think that us as humans, we're just play toys for some higher being. Mm-hmm. Like we are like little ants on in a little playhouse.
Hamsters in a treadmill.
Yeah. And that somebody else is dictating our every move, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. Like we always say, oh, that would never happen. That's not true. Mm-hmm. But what if it is true? What if we are some little girl's play toys?
Oh, God. You know, we're not going to, like, the predetermined destiny.
No, but I will say this, though, Kim. I will say this, though. If we all found out we were little girl's play toys, we would at least have solidarity in that knowledge. Okay? Yeah. Because we'd all...
by himself.
Right. Bernard, on the other hand, found out he was not.
Right.
He was not a real. He was.
He thought he was the little girl.
Yeah. He was Pinocchio. He wasn't a real boy. And and that's got to be devastating.
Well, then to also find out that his son, that he's gone through this turmoil with and all this heartbreak, none of that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what do you believe? What's real? What's not real? And what should he be feeling?
Well, and that's the weird thing with Maeve, because Maeve has found out that isn't real, right? Mm-hmm. She understands that it's all fake. Mm-hmm. But yet at the end, she's pulled back to find her daughter.
That's why I wonder if it's the narrative taking over.
Her daughter.
Yeah, right. But she is already, she's already understood that is not real. Mm-hmm. She is not real. The whole world is not real. There's something else that on the other side of that train that she could find that would answer more questions to what is outside of this world. But yet she still decides to go back.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder what the daughter is going to think when she actually does find her again. Mm-hmm. Is she going to remember her as her mom, or is she
probably
just some stranger to her?
Yeah, she's a robot.
She's probably not going to recognize her. And that's going to be something for Maeve to deal with.
Yeah, Maeve will reprogram her. Oh, she'll have Felix and...
Right.
True, she could do that.
But
she
not Sylvester. Sylvester died. Didn't she cut Sylvester's throat?
Yeah, he's long dead.
Yeah.
Sylvester's dead.
Which was fine, because that guy sucked.
Well, he didn't suck. He was just...
No, he sucked a lot. Like, he was... he was extremely annoying. Felix was trying to help Maeve out, and I wanted him to help Maeve out. And Sylvester was always getting in the way, like, what do you do?
Sylvester was pretty much
what are you
dead.
Trying to do?
I like Sylvester.
No, he kind of sucked.
That was wicked when Sylvester got his throat cut, and then they repaired it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. They had the little heat gun.
Cauterizing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty wicked.
Glue gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, what's your number one?
Actually, I take it back. I did figure out what my number two was.
That
was
my God.
Actually not brought up. Let me bring it up real quick. And it kind of plays off of what you said earlier, Kim, about Ed Harris.
But yeah.
The William character.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great. I mean, and it was funny because, you know, we come to find out in the end that there's actually two different timelines that are playing along here. And we get to watch William along those two different timelines. It's when he was innocent mm-hmm. and a good guy and so forth like that, and how he became jaded and almost a little bit cruel on his experiences in Westworld, and how it evolved into him in the end being the dark man.
See, now you're screwing up my number one and my number two.
Ah,
because it's William. No, it's totally. Sorry. That's fine. Sorry. So that's okay. We're the same. I think, yeah, William and him being the man in black.
See, now, William and the man in black is where the whole storyline just kind of went off the rails for me. Because I'm like, weren't they in the same scene together at some point? And I had to, like, think back, and I'm like, no, they weren't, but the same storylines, and Dolores was there.
Dolores is, but they are
not. And Teddy.
Yeah.
William discovered his cruelty.
Your brain blew up.
It did. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
William discovered his cruelty late in his experiences with Westworld at the beginning. Because you remember, he in essence told his brother-in-law, his future brother-in-law, that I'm taking over. The company is going to invest heavily into this. Because he realized that, he grew a lot from being in Westworld. He grew from this nice guy that, you know, would do whatever for people like that to a guy that was assertive who would take over. I mean, hell, he dragged his brother-in-law around by a rope for three episodes.
Which made me so happy.
I know, exactly. And that guy was a prick. Yep. Yeah, Logan. But he, you know, he comes out in the end of that discovering that his cruelty and the nature of life was not what he thought it was. And I think he felt like his life beforehand was fiction, and that he was discovering what he truly was by going to Westworld, and that's why he kept coming back to it over and over and over again. To finish the maze, to find himself, to find the real him.
Didn't you think he was living a lie?
He wasn't aware.
But that's...
He didn't think he was.
That's not real life. Like, he's playing a persona. It's like diving into a book and getting lost into it.
It's a game.
It's a game, yeah.
But he... Right. What he was... The whole time, and that he was the man in black, he was... He knew that there was some other game to it. There was some other deep storyline that he was trying to get.
It was a game of discovery. I mean, was as soon as he found the center of the maze, that would complete him.
Yep.
That would be the end. And of course, it didn't work out that way.
Wyatt was at the center. That was the one thing that was weird to me, because Wyatt was at the center of the maze, but Wyatt didn't seem to show up at the. Wyatt was not there at the beginning of the storyline. It seemed to be that Wyatt was something that was introduced by Ford, but yet the man in black is looking for the center of the maze. Wyatt's at the center of the maze. And who is Wyatt?
Right.
That was my
number
one.
That's what we're going to find out. Right.
Oh, see? That's
Dolores
a good one.
Is Wyatt.
Dolores is Wyatt?
Dolores is Wyatt.
What?
Yes.
Yes. That's what he explains to, I think, isn't it Ford that explains it?
Now your brain really blew up, didn't it?
I'm very confused.
I think it's Ford. Doesn't Ford explain that to Dolores?
Yes.
That you are Wyatt? You are...
You are the reason for this. Because Dolores was like his...
That the maze was meant for you.
Yeah.
Because you're Wyatt.
How is she Wyatt? I'm so confused.
I think that was her programming.
But
didn't we see Wyatt?
No. No, uh-huh. We never saw anything other than Dolores.
We saw the name, Wyatt. We heard the name, Wyatt. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
And that's why she ends up killing Ford in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, I need to rewatch it again.
Mm-hmm. And she's the one that is leading the rest of the sentience.
Yeah. And folks, seriously, if you... This is not a plot that is for the faint of heart.
No.
This is a tough plot.
My head
this
hurts.
Is a tough plot. Yes. Yes, it is. Twin Peaks again.
Real, it is like Twin Peaks. That's what I was thinking the entire time I was watching it.
Yeah, but there's more answers than Twin Peaks.
Well, that's why they got a new Twin Peaks starting, I guess.
Well, Twin Peaks was kind of like Lost. It created a bunch of... mysteries and so forth, but never really resolved anything.
God, I hope it doesn't end like Lost, though.
I do think Westworld is going to resolve some stuff.
I hope.
But yeah, I mean, that's the one person that the man in black, or William, is searching for the entire time, is the one person that he knew the entire time was Dolores.
Oh, that's crazy, man. Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Kim, you're, I guess we'll go to,
my number one?
Where are we at?
Yeah
let's go to your number one, and then I'll do my number one.
Okay.
You go ahead and do yours.
All right, so my number one is the fact that they have these different worlds that they can traverse through. So it's just like I said just a minute ago, that it's kind of like diving into a book, and you become the person that you always dreamed of becoming. So the only world that we've seen so far is the Western world, right? But then we also know that there is some sort of samurai thing going on in the background, and probably some other types of worlds that we haven't really been introduced to yet.
Wally world.
Right. Like I said, like, you know, with the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah,
and so
I think
forth,
we briefly saw something
movie.
About that. But so... I just love the idea that you get to pick which world you like, and you get to enter and live out your fantasies. But also, I was really fascinated about the transitions between you as a guest coming in to, you've paid your money, you're coming in to the corporate headquarters, and you get on this train, and all of a sudden you're like on a steam locomotive and into a different world. Like, how in the world did they make that happen? How did they make it transition that way into the world that you want it to be? And it was just the whole scenario of it just fascinating.
Well, it's an immersion. I mean, you know, it's like when we talk about language immersion, you know, learning a new language, you in essence immerse yourself in not just going through the lessons and so forth, but actually application. So
I'm talking about the technology of it.
Yeah, you're talking about like William's like he gets on the train and he's waiting for Logan to get on, and all of a sudden Logan's like, oh, he shows up.
Yeah.
Because
in
he was
Western
taking
garb.
Advantage of
right.
whatever
and
it's ladies.
The ladies that were there.
And then
all of a sudden they're like going through a Western plane.
Yeah.
And,
it's like that. But my main point, though, I mean, that was just a little bit of it. My main point is that it's like
Disney.
Yeah, but it's like a dream come true that you can read a book. This is why I love reading so much. You can read a book and get totally lost in the storyline to the point where you do not want to put that book down because you don't want to lose that feeling. And that the emotion that comes with that storyline. And this is that coming to life.
Mm-hmm.
And how amazing would that be?
Oh, exactly. And not only that, it's you also got examples of different ways that people would react to that.
Yeah.
You got, you know, you of course got William, who became absolutely immersed in the story, became emotionally involved. Whereas you had those guys that were like the frat boys, who were going in there just to screw everybody they could and kill a bunch of people and so forth like that. They didn't take it seriously.
Right.
And or the couple that just wanted the fun experience of going off after a gang, going after a bad guy. You know, it was available to whatever amount of immersion you wanted into the scenario.
And those people actually kind of upset me because they kept breaking that fourth wall, you know? They kept saying, yes. Oh, well, you're not supposed to be able to hurt me and you're not supposed to be able to do this. Like, shut up and just experience it for what it's worth.
Yeah, actually, even as a viewer, you were kind of like,
yeah,
it kind of screwed up the storyline because you're like, you keep reminding me that it's not real.
Well, yeah, but that's what the Man in Black did through the whole show.
Right.
His whole character, I mean, that's all he did was kind of like, you're not going to kill me, boom. Mm-hmm. He made fun of the narrative throughout the show.
It's true, but he did it in a different way.
Because he was still respecting the storyline.
Yeah.
Whereas the other people are like, okay, you can't hurt me. I'm just going to shoot whoever it is.
Right.
Because they had like a troop of people that went through and just shot everybody in the bar. And that was it. They were just like having fun shooting people, and they're like laughing at the people that were shooting.
Where the Man in Black had a super storyline that he was chasing.
Right.
The rest of the stuff was frivolous. The rest of it was, characters playing a part and so forth. He was above all that. But he was after a underlying storyline.
You know what was surprising to me was the fact that they had to do so much work to get the hosts back online.
Yeah.
Where they had to like clean them up and sew them up and, they were saying cauterize their wounds. And I think Maeve, one of her things was that she found that she had a pain because she still had a bullet in her.
Yeah.
That whole time.
Right. Yep.
It was, can you imagine? That has to be a ton of work. Like they bring all those people and they just start shooting all the hosts. And then they have to gather all the bodies up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was actually wondering about that. Like,
repair them all before they reset the whole thing.
That's why they discussed on several occasions on how many hosts you could kill.
Yeah.
Because remember, they discussed on it, they discussed damaging the narrative by taking too many hosts out of the picture.
Right.
So they were talking about the fact, there's a quota. You got to have a certain amount of hosts in the park to make this thing work. We can't just go around and start shooting up all the hosts.
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the things that I kept wondering is like, when do they do cleanup each day? When do they go and get each of these people or AIs? And how long does it take to repair them and get them back online?
Well, and the other side of that is I was confused as to maybe this is just because my own experience with like theme parks. How long do these people get to stay in here?
I was wondering that too. Is it by the hour, by the day? do they get to pay a certain amount?
Are they there for a week?
Or also, how big is the park?
Yeah.
Some of these people went for days riding, but it didn't look like it was that big on the map.
Yeah. And the people who went to the outskirts of the park,
they went to the ocean, for God's sake.
Yeah. I mean, how are they able to do that? Lots of cool questions. It was a fascinating story. And let's not forget that Stephen Ogg is in this from The Walking Dead.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was the guy who killed Dolores' dad.
Right.
He's also the one in the end, at the end of the series, when they're shooting up all the... Dolores starts shooting the guests at the grand finale. And he starts smiling.
Yep.
Of course he would.
Negan smile.
That's Stephen Ogg.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Stephen Ogg is one of the saviors.
Yes.
And the one that actually deals with
Hilltop. He's like the right-hand man.
With the Hilltop folks.
Yep. And what's funny is that during the Walking Dead season, during the first half of this season, people kept saying that he was in the Westworld, and I was like, what the hell is the Westworld? I had no clue about it back then.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know. All right. And I'm Are better we ready for my number one?
Yeah.
Oh, you still have a number one. All right, let's go for
I have a number one. All right, I have good. A number one. The number one I have is my favorite line from the whole series.
Okay.
From one of my favorite characters from the whole series.
Okay.
We're waiting.
Armitus.
Okay.
The girl with the tattoo snake tattoo. Face. Yes. Thought she was boss as hell. She was very cool. And in the scene where she and who was the guy she was running with? Who was the bad guy that she was? Yeah, Hector. Okay. When they start, taking care, gunning down all the bad guys, or gunning down all the people from the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the security people and so forth like that. And she says to Maeve, at one point, she shoots up a couple of people, and she looks over at Maeve's, and she goes, "The gods are pussies."
Yeah, that's right.
That's good. I thought that was the best line of the show.
That's right. I had actually forgotten about that, too. Maeve brought those two back.
Yes.
To fight
She brought them back to help
quote her unquote escape. Gods.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To defeat the gods, and the gods are pussies because they all kept dying so fast.
That was awesome.
Yep.
She was a good character.
That was my number one.
Lots of badass women in this show.
There was.
I like shows like that.
I'm okay. Sure you do.
Yeah.
It's very emasculating.
Xena is awesome. Do you guys have...
Good stuff, Zima. All
right. Not Zima, Xena.
Xena.
Zima.
But Xena drinking. Oh,
I thought you were talking about Zima. I thought you were talking about
Xena, the princess warrior.
Yeah.
I thought you were about Zima, the only way you could get
you definitely
white people to drink malt liquor.
I think Kim was actually saying both.
No, I hated Zima in college. Lots of college stuff tonight.
Xena drinking Zima.
All right, Scott, do you have a hit or miss?
My hit and my miss are actually the same thing.
Okay.
Believe it or not. It's the...
I believe it.
Shut up. It's the sophistication, complication of the whole plot. I mean, seriously.
That's mine too, actually.
Just confusion?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, but I mean, it's, you know, if you want something that's really going to make you think, it's really going to make you pay attention and so forth, the show is that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just in there for the entertainment value and you know, you may watch episode one, you may pick it up in episode three, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's true.
This is not a show to do that. This is not a pop-in on episodes show.
Definitely not.
It's not a hop-on show.
No, it is not. And so that's why, to me, it's the hit or miss. I mean, you know, it depends on the audience you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're limiting yourself a little bit by making the plot a little bit too complicated, to tell you the truth. But for someone like me who loves to break down something like that, or us in general, because we love to break down shows and so forth, that it's great fodder. I mean, it's perfect for us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just to go along with that, like, I love all the plot twists, and it mm-hmm. keeps you wanting to see more. But then again, it's like, God damn it, like, I don't know what just happened.
I gotta go watch that episode again. Damn it.
It was super confusing and very fast-paced and... Mm-hmm. Made it very difficult to follow, but that was also a plus for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think it got confusing with like the time shifts and all that kind of stuff
time
that we're talking
were
about.
Super right. confusing.
I mean,
especially since you didn't realize there was a time shift until the end.
Yeah. In hindsight, yeah, talking about it, okay, I understand a little bit more. But in the time when you're like in the moment when you're watching it, it's like, what the hell just happened? Which kind of takes away from the enjoyment a little bit because it gets a little confusing, but.
Kind of like the sixth sense when you finally figure out the plot and then you go back and watch it again.
Yeah, like, oh, that was, yeah.
Oh, that's right. They were ghosts.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, because I mean.
But I didn't enjoy that part.
When I'm watching TV, at night, I kind of want to just relax and let my brain kind of defog from the day. And this is not that type of show. You have to work for it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was that much mm-hmm. work.
I do.
You have to pay attention.
It was. I mean, you know, even compared to shows that we've been doing, The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead and so forth, this is a sophisticated plotline.
Well, nobody has to work for Fear of the Walking Dead.
No.
Well, you have
no
to,
one has to work for Walking Dead, really.
Fear of the Walking Dead, I mean, I we're still it. Trying to figure out what it, why. Why did you do that? Like,
yeah.
At least this show has reason for that. Like,
right.
Fear the Walking Dead.
But, it,
it's,
but
like,
it's but it's
really?
Very sophisticated you, to figure it out.
Why in Mexico? Why are you doing uh-huh. that? yeah, this one definitely, it comes back and you're like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like five days later.
Yeah, right. This is not Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
Which you can figure out in like 2 seconds. Right. You can watch the ads and you know what's happening in that show. No, this is a whole different beast.
Yeah. It's written at a different level. It's good. You know, my only problem with the show is that I think it could have stepped it up a little bit and been a little bit more creepy. I think minor things could have made
it
a lot creepier.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wish they did that.
Was it supposed to be creepy though?
I don't know, but I think that you're dealing with a
creepiness might have added to it.
I think it could have added a lot to it.
I would have loved, Stu, I agree with you. I would have loved to see some more creepiness to the Confederate soldiers.
Yeah, or
that kept popping up.
The what was the other group? Oh man,
Hector's people?
No, the Native American.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the ghost
nation.
Yeah,
the ghost walkers.
The ghost nation. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ghost
true.
Nation were right. creepy. You didn't see them.
Yeah.
Right. There wasn't enough. They needed more of the ghost nation. Yeah,
or
right.
just the fact that out when they're in the country, I mean, I think there was one instance where there was one of the androids that malfunctioned that was out there, and the guy was like,
yes,
oh yeah,
yes,
we're getting out of here.
Right. It was the sheriff.
Yeah, right. And he started repeating the same thing over and over and again.
You know what could have been a lot creepier, in all essence, was the boy.
Oh, yeah. He was creepy right. no matter what.
Right, but they could have even added more to that.
Yep.
Which,
because,
incidentally,
you know, that was Ford as a boy.
That's the kid who's on Salem, right?
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
He looks like the kid on Salem, the witch show. Wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, witch show. Salem?
But the part with Elsie, that was pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. Her whole storyline was creepy to me because it was like you were anticipating something really bad was going to happen to Elsie.
I know, but there could have been something that was out there that made it a little bit more like you didn't know if the hosts were actually in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
it was like,
right.
yeah,
there was way too much security in the fact that they couldn't kill anybody.
That's true.
Right.
And
right.
I feel like you just had to tune it up a little bit and it was like,
I agree with you. I might have even increased the creepiness of Anthony Hopkins' part.
Yeah, right. Like
making him maybe a little bit more ruthless.
Yeah, like he wanted something bad to happen to the people that were there or something. Who knows?
He was a little too passive.
I was telling Stuart that when
somebody's brain.
Well, when they were
beans
or
something.
This is
what I was getting
ready to say. When they were in the basement, him and Bernard, and he was walking around that gated area. It was like a little prison down there in the basement.
Yeah.
And he was talking to Bernard about how he actually is a robot. I kept telling Stuart, I was like, he needs to say something about fava beans here because
yes,
that's
right,
the creepy
right.
part.
And a nice Chianti.
Yes. yes. Yeah.
Well, because nice. Going into this, I almost felt like it was, I don't know, maybe it's because of the stuff we've been watching. But it felt like it needed a little bit more of a horror feel to it. And
hey, listen,
I think
listen,
the original...
Thriller.
Well, I think the original movie
no,
was
wait,
a little bit more
you're
of a horror
right.
movie, right?
Stuart, think about it. The introduction of the show spends a lot of time on creepy images of the creation of these characters.
Yeah, the woman like riding the horse and stuff is like
yes,
almost
right.
evil looking,
with her face half formed
yeah,
and
right.
so forth. Right. I agree with you. I mean, that kind of right there portrays that this is going to be a somewhat of a creepy show.
Not to me. To me, this must be my science coming out, because to me, that was all biology to me. Okay, it was just the formation of a body. I know, there was nothing creepy about
but
that.
But the essence of what the storyline is horror, is scary, is fear.
I did not see it as that at all.
No, but I'm saying the uprising.
The skeletal fingers on the piano. No. That's horror imagery.
Yeah, sure.
That's old-time horror imagery.
Yeah. But I still just saw it as the creation of a body, if you could watch the creation.
Sure. But it was creepy.
It's cool. Actually, we hadn't said that, but the beginning of the show is really cool.
All the 3D printing.
Yes, the 3D printing of all the bodies and...
Oh, yeah, it's beautifully rendered. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you've seen the show Daredevil.
Yeah, we love that show.
With like that kind of wax at the beginning, kind of coming
Oh, yeah, it's the same kind of imagery. I mean, it's just beautiful.
But
done.
Kind of the ode to like Michelangelo with the body, you know, in the circle and like all that kind of stuff. It's
which
very cool.
Which became a part of the storyline.
Yeah. Yep. And is a symbol for biology.
Yes.
And it's a symbol for biology.
And he actually used to dissect people.
Yeah.
A lot.
So was that your hit
and
or miss?
And he made a parachute.
Yeah, no, that was my hit or miss, was my miss that I felt like it could have gone a little creepier.
Okay.
And really, honestly, if they did that, I think you would even have been like, this was awesome.
Maybe.
I think you would have been pulled into it.
Me as in Kim.
Yes.
Or you as in Kim.
Right, because I'm talking to Kim, who's sitting next to me.
Instead of Scott, who's, you know, 200 miles away.
Right. Yeah, that might be true, but I still feel like there was a bit of creep there towards the end. Like at the beginning, it wasn't there, but at towards the middle and end, it was there for me.
No, and you're absolutely right. There was creepiness, but I guess I agree with Stuart. I think there could have been more.
Yeah. Well, maybe
I think you could have ratcheted up the creepiness a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe next season, because next season, who knows where they could go with this entire storyline?
Really, have no idea.
I don't either. It's a mystery.
I think, though, to tell you the truth, though, I think next season it'll be harder for them to increase the creepiness. I think more next season will be more explaining what happened in this season.
Well, I mean, there's no more people left, right? So
right.
It's and except for the people that are back in the headquarters, right?
Right.
So so in the parks themselves, it's just the AIs are taking over. The hosts are taking over.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you really think Anthony Hopkins is dead? Do you really think Ford is dead?
Well, he got shot in the head. So, yeah.
Yeah, but do you...
Is it actually him?
Was that Ford?
Oh, it could have been a host.
AI?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe. That's a good point. I never thought about that.
You never know. Well, I mean, we don't know that was the end of him.
True. Yeah, I don't know.
No one does.
How about that, folks?
Yeah, how about that?
But I did read that for the second season, they are really taking their time to figure out how to do it effectively, which is why they're waiting until 2018 to air it.
Because they're like, oh shit, people like
are
this.
They?
Yeah.
now what do we do?
Better make it good.
Oh, so it's not being aired till 2018?
Yeah.
Because the writers are seriously trying to figure out what the hell do we do now?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Come on. Can't these people figure out a damn show before, you know, figure out the whole damn thing before they put it together?
They should hire Scott.
This is the same shit that J.J. Abrams did when he did with Lost. They had no idea where they were going with that damn show. They came with a great premise, but they had no idea.
See? This is what you do. You piss Scott off.
Figure the shit out. Well, we all saw what happened with Lost. It was the lamest fucking ending you could expect. I mean, it was just, it showed you they had no clue what was going
they
on.
They should have just ended it.
Yes, they should have done like Heroes. They should have done like Heroes and just stopped.
Yep. Agreed. It was horrible. The worst ending in television history.
I mean, it's pitiful that some of these shows, I mean, Heroes was a great example of following in Lost footstep. They come up with these great premises, but they have no idea how to resolve them.
That was very weird, actually.
Lost?
Heroes. Heroes. It was just like a kind of...
Both of them. Both of them.
Yeah.
Well, so is there another show that you guys... Okay, so...
Yes. Yes.
Oh, first of all, anything else you want to say about Westworld?
I guess I'm looking forward to 2018.
In January of 2017.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I guess it's going to be a little while.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was good. Right.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. But yeah, it is kind of disappointing that it's going to take that long to see what happens
out of it. But I think I will forget about it before we come around to season two.
I'll have to remind myself. That's what I'm saying. You'll have to watch it again right before it airs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. So is there another show that you guys want to review before The Walking Dead comes back?
Do we
back?
Have time? When's The Walking Dead come back?
February 12th.
Don't have time.
Not much time.
Not much time.
But we do have some time.
Not enough time.
No, but there is a show I am excited about coming out. Legion.
Legion?
Legion.
What's that one?
Have you not seen the promos for that one?
No, I'm imagining it's about the devil.
Yes. Yes.
Like the movie.
I think I did actually see previews for that.
I really honestly don't know what it's exactly about, but it looks like almost like the devil. It's like the devil's discovery of himself. I mean, it looks good.
What is that coming out on?
One of the networks. Fox, I think.
Oh, like a primetime network.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's based on, a Marvel character, because Marvel's the one that's putting it out.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is a Marvel.
But it looks, I mean, the previews and so forth are really, really cool. Looks like it'll be fun.
So it's not out yet, so we don't need to review that one.
No. Okay. We're not reviewing that one. I'm just talking about one that I'm excited to see come out.
Okay.
For God's sakes.
So we have the Walking Dead is actually coming back the weekend after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yes. Which is next. Yeah, so 2 weeks. Is that
Which we'll be hanging out together on that weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but you won't be here for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sorry. I don't really care.
We're going to have Cincinnati chili that night.
Are you?
Yeah.
Cincinnati's not in the Super Bowl. You understand
that, right? It's a tradition.
We still have to have the chili, though.
Yeah.
No, but you guys are in Atlanta.
Duh, yeah. Falcons. Go Falcons.
And Dirty Birds.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, Dirty Birds.
Gotta go Dirty Birds. I'm for the Dirty Birds. I want to see the Dirty Birds.
Definitely over the Patriots.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, spare me.
Yeah.
Please. Enough with the Patriots.
Yeah. It's going to be a good game. All right, so maybe not reviewing anything else. We'll just take next week off for the Super Bowl, and then we'll come back strong for the second half of season 7.
We could come back and review the Super Bowl, but I think half of our listeners wouldn't give a shit.
No. So. I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Okay, cool.
So we are done with our review of Westworld, which I think we've drawn a general positive review of Westworld, and we'll wait the next 15 years to get the second episode or the second series. I do think that we generally thought it was a pretty good show, and it's definitely worth picking up if you guys get a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
Kim, what do you think? You going to wrap it up?
Yes. So thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. You can download our episodes from your favorite podcast site. You can also find us on Twitter at Fear Me Pod, on Facebook at Facebook/Fear Me Podcast. And on the web at fearmepodcast.com. And you can email us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, we are looking for any input into the second half of season 7. So go ahead and send it in if you want to be on the next podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
See you later.